Well, I'm going to try to be so quick tonight. I'm going to read through my notes, and I got 25 points. Hallelujah. Hey, man, where's Brother Hendershot when you need him? But these are points that don't need a whole lot of explanation. The message is how to love your pastor. How to love your pastor, and I have 25 ways that we can do that. Now, some of you may hear all 25 of these and say, man, I do those things. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe you say, well, I do half. Well, let's, as a church, and this is for me, including, the truth is, yes, I'm on staff, but Pastor Rich is still my pastor. He's my pastor. Listen, I was at Mountain View. Pastor Chad Correa, who I love very much, is not my pastor anymore. Pastor Jerry Cleveland, who was my first pastor, and I still call him pastor, is not my pastor anymore. Pastor Eric Tharp, who I love, who invested in me, was a great pastor in my teen years, but he's not my pastor anymore. My pastor, the man that God has placed in my life as my shepherd, is Pastor Rich Zawadzki. And he's done the same for everyone here. Whether you're a member or whether you just attend regularly, you've trusted pastors to be your pastor. And these are practical things. Listen, I'm not going to have a scripture for every one of these points. But just because I don't have a scripture to back up one of these points, I think you'll understand what I mean, doesn't mean that it's not something we should do. So please, listen. If you want to take notes, go ahead. And as I preach this and share these thoughts, I even got this up here. I had a picture of my mom this morning, and I got this picture up here for Motivations, like me and Preacher. And I've been here a little over 4 years, and I never thought my relationship with Pastor could get any stronger than it was when I was in his youth group. We were close. We were very, very close. Even through college, we were very close. And coming out here, doesn't mean we never butt heads. Doesn't mean I never disagreed and got frustrated with something that I wanted to do. But in the end, I'll tell you this much: anytime I got frustrated with him as a staff member, later on, when I got right with God and him, I realized he was right. God has placed Pastor Rich here for a reason. He has placed him here for a reason. He led him and his family here for a reason. And I hope this message encourages you to be an even greater encouragement to your pastor. The scripture we read was, many of you know the story, and it's Moses and Joshua and Aaron and Hur stay up the hands of Moses as he's holding his hands up in the battle, and Israel's winning, and if his hands go down, they start to lose. And these two men got on either side and sat him down and held his arms up, and they had victory that day because of those two men encouraging their leader, the spiritual leader God had in their life at the time. They encouraged, and God gave the victory. And God will never give you victory in your Christian life if you are not right with your pastor. A strong statement, but it's true. You will not live the victorious Christian life if you have problems with your preacher. So I want to take the time tonight. It's 7:35, or no, it's not, 6:35. If I can be done before 7, I'll be happy. That's a minute per point, so don't count on it, okay? But let's get started, and you can take notes. Here's ways to encourage your pastor. Number one, write the pastor a note of encouragement. Simple things here tonight, very simple things. Many of these points will be very simple, but they're so important. Pastor Rich in his office has a drawer full of notes and letters that he's received over the years from the various ministries that he served in. And I'll tell you, I've only been in the ministry full-time for a little over 4 years, and I do the same thing. I keep certain notes and letters that I'm given from teenagers, from parents, and from bus kids, whoever it may be. And there are times in the ministry when you are discouraged, when you feel lonely, when you feel forgotten, when you feel unappreciated, like any of us feel in our regular jobs or in our families or whatever. But there are many times in the ministry when we feel alone, and it's that drawer full of encouraging notes that keep us going. I'm telling you. Yes, the Lord does, number one, in our walks with God, but to be able to take out a note from a dear member or a child or a teenager that says, Pastor, I love you, and I want to thank you for being my pastor. If you go into his office, most of the time you'll see some plastered on his window. Some for me that I've given him over the few years. Just tell him, hey, I love you, preacher. I'm here for you. I'm so glad to be working for you. And he keeps those up as a source of encouragement. It doesn't got to be for his birthday or for Pastor Appreciation Month, which we do. And I know he appreciates, and I appreciate all the cards that we receive during that month of October. But at random. Write one tonight and leave it in his box for when he gets home. Wednesday night before he gets back. drop a letter in his church mailbox or in his office mailbox, just saying, "Hey, preacher, just want to let you know I love you." It can be about anything. It can be about a sermon that he preached that encouraged you. Maybe here's one that's tough for anyone in ministry. You have an activity. You say, "I wonder if that activity, you know, if people liked it." We have people come. Right, yeah, "Preacher, I'm so glad that you planned the church-wide game night. We had such a good time fellowshiping with people. Thank you for planning that." Anything like that. Write the pastor a note of encouragement. Number two, love and encourage the pastor's children. And you folks just did a great job already. Listen, I try to make it a point to terrorize his kids as much as possible. But we have a different relationship. I'm the youth pastor, but I love those kids, all of them. And you folks are so good to my kids as well. But talking about pastor tonight, love and encourage the pastor's children. Listen, kids are kids. I know they can get frustrating. Listen, I know my kids can be frustrating. Your kids can be frustrating. We know that, folks. We know that. I understand that. But love and encourage the pastor's children. Kids aren't stupid. They know when they maybe are disliked. Not that anyone dislikes them here, but you know what I mean. They can tell if someone's just kind of like, or whatever. No, love and encourage the pastor's children. Listen, they live a fishbowl life without trying to. They do. And ministry kids, they call them, people call them PKs, pastor's kids, MKs, missionary kids, ministry kids, whoever it may be. I got YPKs, youth pastor kids, whatever it may be. Listen, it's a different life. It just is. It's a different life. And love and encourage the pastor's children. Get them a gift. Give them a little candy bar. Do something like that. Try to get to know them. I know they're young right now. I tell you, if you don't know little Eric Zavodsky, man, you're missing out. That kid is so smart for his age. He's so intelligent. I remember my wife was teaching once in a class, and she said, "Who wrote the book of Philippians?" And she was looking for the answer. Who wrote this verse? And God, it's God's words. And she said that, and Eric said, "Actually, Paul wrote the book of Philippians." She goes, "Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it." But just, man, get to know him. Get to know him. Bring him out to eat. Say, "Hey, Pastor, I want to come pick up your two boys and bring them to Culver's. Is that all right?" And I'll tell you, he's not going to say no. Love and encourage the pastor's kids. Number three, pray for the pastor and his family daily. And many of you probably do. You have your prayer time, and he's right there at the top of your list. We'll continue to pray for the pastor and his family daily. We just don't know. We don't know what he goes through. We don't know the phone calls he's getting on an everyday basis, or the text message he receives of people who are hurting or struggling, and the burdens that he carries for all of us. Pray for your pastor and his family. Oh, the pastor's wife and pastor's kids, pastor, anybody in the ministry, man, yes, they give so much at the church and to people, and they have to train themselves, and I've had to work at it as well. When you get home, you're not completely empty and have nothing left to give your family. But there are days that happen like that when there's just nothing else. You get home and you are just completely and utterly wiped, not from physical labor. And listen, I understand that can take, but I'm talking about emotional and spiritual and just burdens of carrying everyone's burdens, the whole church family and the problems and the trials and the struggles and the sin. Oh, it can be a lot. Pray for the pastor and his family daily. Oh, he says it all the time. He says, "The only reason that I can get up here and preach and the Lord can use it is because there's people that are praying for me." And I believe that. So continue, please, to do that. Pray for the pastor and his family daily. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And that's not just for the pastor or the youth pastor, but all of you praying together fervently, effectually. Listen, it can continue to do amazing things in our church and through his ministry. Number four. Tell the pastor when you are blessed by his preaching. Oh, yes, I know we can say amen. I think that's another point down the way. But when the pastor preaches and you're blessed by it and you're encouraged by it, let him know. Let him know. It can be in a note, like I mentioned. You're on your way out shaking hands on a Sunday morning. Say, "Preacher, I needed that today." You have no idea how encouraging those words are. For even as a youth pastor, I've had teenagers that have said, "Pastor, I don't think I needed that today. It really helped me." Man, that just... We had a young lady, I preached about friends, and she came the next week and said, "You preach on friends, and I realized that I needed to get rid of some of my friends, and I know it's hard, but I know God's going to bless it." Man, that's so encouraging for the pastor. When the pastor preaches something that you're blessed by or convicted by and make changes, let him know. "Preacher, thanks for preaching it straight. Thanks for preaching the truth. Thanks for preaching that encouraging message. I needed that today." It solidifies God's leading in his sermon. Listen, there's many times when a pastor, our pastor will, Monday morning says, I hope that was, Lord, I know you want, I thought you want me to preach that. I hope that it helped somebody. When someone says, preacher, that was just for me today. I needed that. In his heart, he says, thank you, Lord. Now I know. After, even though I felt the Lord's leading, now I'm even more sure that that's exactly what you wanted me to preach. Because there's times, like I said, we feel like we laid a big goose egg. Oh, there have been many times I've said, oh, man, that was a stinker. You know, oh, I preached that message, what a wreck. And it's those times, a lot of times, when it really encouraged and helped the flock. But he may not know that. So let him know. Tell the pastor when you're blessed by his preaching. We doing okay so far? Say amen. Amen. Verse 5, beyond time for services. Hallelujah. Yeah, I got to check. Listen. There have been times that I've been late. You don't know. Listen, Seth, I feel like I always blame Seth. Not Seth's fault. But Seth fills his diaper at, 5:42. And it's up his back and it's bad and we got to change him and we got to, spray the house. Listen, that happens sometime. Car trouble, whatever it may be. Listen, but there's a difference between those kind of things happening and really being backed up against the wall and just casually showing up at 6:05 or 9:58 for Sunday school or whatever it may be. Be on time for services. That's encouraging. When preacher steps up the pulpit to platform at 10:43 and getting ready to start service, and he sees, the church building filled and people sitting ready for the preaching and ready to worship, that's encouraging. Let's do our best to be on time for services. 6, speak kindly to the pastor when you see him. Many times we got something that maybe has bothered us, not about him, but about something, or maybe a prayer request, or maybe something that happened. And if we're not careful, we can say, preacher, hey, pastor, I need to talk to you. That's not right, folks. That wouldn't be right for me to do it. Preacher, hey, I need to talk to you for a minute. That is God's man. It's God's man. We need to be careful. And sometimes we're not doing it on purpose. But we need to be careful that we watch our tone. And that's just Christian. That's just as a Christian, even to another Christian, but especially to our preacher. Let's make sure that we speak kindly to the pastor when we see him. Whatever, maybe it is about a struggle or a problem or maybe something going on that he needs to be brought to his attention. Hey, preacher, do you have a moment? Can I talk to you for a minute? Very simple. Even if you're frustrated, we need to, all of us, continually training ourselves to control our emotions. Speak kindly when you see the pastor. Watch your tone. Number seven, bring your children to talk to the pastor and teach them to love him. So important. I'm looking around the room. I know we have some who have children. Many of us, our children are grown and moved out. But whether you have teenagers or young kids in elementary grades, bring your children to talk to the pastor. Teach them to love him. So many times, and I'm not saying it's in our church, and I hope it's not in our church, I don't believe it is, but many times in churches, Sunday afternoon dinner is they're having roast preacher for lunch, and they're having roast pastor and say, I can't believe you said that in the pulpit this morning, at the table around their kids. Oh, we don't want that, folks. Impressionable minds. The things they should be hearing is, what a great pastor we have. I'm so glad that we have Pastor Rich as our pastor. Hey, kids, don't you love our pastor? Listen, teach your children to love him. Teach your children to love him and his family. Number 8, heed the pastor's counsel. If you go to the pastor and say, preacher, I need your advice on something. Listen, you're trusting him. That's God's man that God's put in your life. And he says, I think you should do this. Then you really probably should do it. If he says, listen, I'm not positive. But if he says, this is what I believe you need to do. God has placed him. God's giving him spiritual answers for you. That's why he's placed him in your life. It'd be like if I went to the doctor and said, Doc, I got a giant nail sticking out of the side of my head. What should I do? He said, we probably should get it taken out. I said, I think I'm going to just pound it in a little bit more. Is that all right? Listen, no, I got to take the advice of the doctor. He knows what he's talking about. I'm going to him for advice so he can help me. And it's the same with our preacher. Whether it's in a sermon, or in a counseling session, whatever the advice and spiritual advice that he gives you. And listen, if you know our preacher, you know that everything he says, any bit of counsel he gives, is going to be backed up with the Word of God. We know that. Our preacher is an incredibly biblically literate man. He just is, a man of God. And when he gives us advice, especially from the Word of God, we need to heed it. Heed the pastor's counsel. Number nine, guard your personal devotional life. And that, again, is something you could preach a whole message on your walk with God. But when it comes to your pastor, your relationship with your preacher, you can't expect to have the right attitude about something when you're not walking with God. So, well, I'm really frustrated about what he said or did or what that this is going on, but you haven't read your Bible in weeks, haven't prayed, haven't walked with God at all, then you don't have the right spirit. You don't have the right spirit. Guard your personal devotional life. So when a problem does arise or something does that we need, you're going with the right spirit, a heart that is right with God. Number 10, say amen in the services. And we do, I think we do a pretty good job of that. Let's practice. Say amen in the services. Hey, hallelujah. What a great point that must have been. Amen. You know what it does? And I'm just kidding about it right now, but it stirs the preacher. It does. It stirs the preacher. There are sometimes that he's going to say something that he's like, oh, I hope this, you know, it needs to be said because it's the Word of God, but I hope it goes over well. I hope that God's people understand that it's the right thing to say and it's the Word of God, and he'll say it. And thankfully, I feel like our church, really, since I've been here, I feel like it's gotten better and better. And it's okay to be a little bit loud in church and say amen. There's nothing wrong with that. It encourages the preacher. Hey, when he's singing even, it encourages the preacher. Say amen. You know what? When you say amen, it's like you're saying, hey, that's true. I agree. Hey, my heart's in it. Hey, this is what I believe too. Hey, we know that that's Bible, preacher. Hey, we're thankful for you and grateful for the stand that you take. When you say just that one word, amen, it's like you're saying those things. Hey, we agree with you. Hey, we appreciate that you're speaking the truth. Man, say amen in the services. Listen, I understand that. I've been in churches sometimes, and man, you could hear a pin drop, you know, just in the service. No one wants to say amen. And it can be awkward to say, ooh, but that's not the case here. Listen, I try to make it very unawkward for you to say amen by saying amen a lot. Because I'm fired up. I don't care if someone else says it or not. I'm going to shout amen. I'm going to raise a hand. I'm going to say hallelujah, whatever it may be. Because listen, I want the preacher to know that I'm encouraged and challenged by his preaching. Sometimes it's not, you know, it's a hey, help us, preacher. Like, hey, we need to hear that. Thank you, preacher. Hey, help us. Whatever it may be. Say amen in services. Number 11, serve in your church with enthusiasm. Serve in our church with enthusiasm. Oh man, whatever your ministry is, be excited about it. Listen, there's days that are tougher than others. I understand that in different ministries. That sometimes the nursery is a difficult day. You're just loaded up and you're having, listen, I understand that. Whatever, bus ministry, Sunday school classes, whatever it may be, security. Listen, whatever ministry you're in, serve with enthusiasm. Serve with enthusiasm. And listen, can I say this without getting in trouble? Don't just serve in your church with money. We have so many wonderful givers in our church, and I thank to all those who give to different ministries. But listen, if you are physically able, we should all be serving in some capacity of ministry. Ministry is people. That's what ministry is. And I know that our church, this is a ministry, it needs to be supported, and we tithe, we give to missions. Praise the Lord. I look at our missions offering. It's incredible right now. We're only in the second week. Praise the Lord. But don't just serve with money. Find a place to serve. Find a ministry to serve in. I know that they're always looking for workers in different children's classes and things of that, even in security. Listen, the more security people we have, the less each guy has to be out of service. So listen, they always need more help in different places, in different ministries. Serve with enthusiasm. Find a place to serve. Number 12, we're halfway there. Be faithful to the services and special meetings. Be faithful to church and the special meetings. Don't be a member that the pastor has to, man, worry about. Man, I hope they're doing okay. I haven't seen them in a few weeks. Oh, you know, man, be faithful. I understand some of us work long hours. I get that. I understand that. Make it a point to be faithful to the house of God. There's a reason that, and preacher always says we have, you know, 8-day missions conference, 8-day revival meetings. And to me, I remember when I first heard that, I was like, wow, it's a long time. But really, it's just a five-day meeting. You got two Sundays, which don't count as special days. It's a Sunday. We're going to be in church anyway, and Monday through Friday. Listen, if it's 2 weeks a year that we have that, we can do it. And it encourages the preacher. I think this is the first year of missions conference that we have had over 100 in every service. And you have no idea how much that blessed our preacher. Seems like it's always other years we've had, and we've had over 100, and then one day we'll have 98, and it's, oh, we had over 100 every service, and it blessed his heart. It really did. Be faithful to the services and the special meetings when they come around. Man, be here. Preacher isn't just, he's not planning them for himself. He's planning them for our church. And I understand that things come up. Some of us, we cannot change our work schedule, or we have a birthday party, or whatever it may be that you can't, you're going to be out of town, whatever. Listen, but be faithful to the services in the special meetings. Number 13, bring others with you to church. Bring visitors. Many of you have brought people to church. Someone that you work with, family that doesn't go to church anymore, someone you meet. Bring others with you to church. That blesses the pastor's heart so much. Listen, I think that if we this morning, I could look around this morning and saw several people that were brought as a result of someone here bringing someone or inviting someone to church. You have no idea how much it encourages a preacher when you bring a visitor and say, "Preacher, this is my friend from work. I brought him to church today." Man, that's what it's all about. Reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, if it's another Christian that comes, giving them a place to serve and to worship. Bring others with you to church. Find someone to bring. We can all find somebody to bring to church. Number 14, give sacrificially and faithfully. And I know we just had missions conference, and listen, our church is a giving church. My goodness, is it a giving church. Praise the Lord for the givers in our church. But the truth is, folks, and you know this is true, many, many do give, but there's many that don't give. If you're here tonight and you don't give, or you don't give to missions, or you don't give to special, whatever it may be, I challenge you to do that. That's not just the opinion of man, but the opinion of God, the truth of God's word. May we give sacrificially. There are times when we need to sacrifice and give till it hurts. God will bless. Give faithfully. Be a tither. Tithe. This is true. In giving, it's not just about money. We give our time. It's about being faithful to church. We give our love. We give our effort. Hey, you know what? We give our support. We give our support. When preacher says, "Hey, I think we should do this as a church," we should support it. God has called Pastor Rich Zavonsky to be the pastor of our church. And we should support him. Now, if he says, "I think we should bring in the NIV," then that's different. That's bad doctrine. That's different. But if he says, "You know, I think we should do this," or listen, I understand there's times to say, "Preacher, hey, what about this?" But listen, if he says, "This is what I believe God wants us to do," may we support the man of God. May we support the man. When it comes time to vote for something, may we support what God has called our pastor to do. Give your support. Number 15, allow your pastor to spend time with his family. And I know that you do that. Oh, he's right now, he's obviously preaching, but oh, our preacher's so blessed, and I'm so blessed. But listen, if you sense, man, he's been really busy, man, say, "Preacher, why don't you take a few days off? Hey, why don't you do this? Hey, why don't you spend the day with your family out here?" And listen, he can do that. I know he doesn't have to get permission about that, but encourage him. Say, "Preacher, hey, have you been able to do stuff with your family?" Man, if he does, don't make him feel outed. "Oh, preacher, hey, you know." No, allow him to spend time with his family. Number 16, and this isn't often, but greet guest preachers. There's times, preacher brings someone in, and man, we want, our pastor is, he's a guest of our pastor into our church. And man, get to know them. I know the Williamsons were just here, and man, our church, I believe, just fell in love with them. There's a great family. But there's times, listen, maybe someone that you don't particularly care for. You're like, "Well, I don't really like that guy." Greet him anyway. Greet him anyway. He's a guest in our church, and he's pastor's guest. And if that guest preacher feels kind of outed or slighted, that's not good for the work of God and for our pastor. Greet guest preachers. Number 17, win souls. Win souls. Oh man, if every one of us could win one soul a week, and it's, listen, I know I need to be a better soul winner. I need to be a better soul winner. Let's do our best to win souls. Listen, that is pastor's desire for us. It's God's desire for us, number one, but it's preacher's desire for us to win souls, to be a gospel witness. May we do our best in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number 18, have a forgiving spirit. Have a forgiving spirit. Nothing can hurt a church more than an unforgiving spirit towards the pastor or towards someone else, or listen, even in your own personal life with anything. Unforgiveness can destroy a church. May we have a forgiving spirit. Forgive others. If someone, our preacher, I said he's the man of God that God gives the preacher, I believe, special wisdom. And I have no doubt that there's times when preacher knows when there's some animosity, and I don't believe there's any right now, but if there ever was animosity between members, listen, he sees it, and that, oh, that's a burden that he carries. Forgive others. That's not, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That does not come from the book of Donald, chapter 4, verse 32, but the book of Ephesians 4:32. Have a forgiving spirit. Number 19, learn to move beyond problems. Oh, yes, listen. Preacher said this many times. I'll say it. Listen, we're human. We make mistakes sometimes. We forget sometimes certain things. I know this morning is the perfect one. Brother Bryce texted me mid-service and said, hey, don't forget, it's Miss DeCamp's birthday. And I didn't see it to the end. And I felt really bad about that. I felt really bad. Now, I don't think she was offended about it. I don't think she was bothered about it at all. But listen, if something happens that might irk you a little bit, and those times will come. The devil's smart. The devil's not an idiot. He knows what will bother you, and he will, man, he'll have to where you may not be automatically angry, but if you don't take care of it and move beyond it and get over it, then it will fester, turn into bitterness, and destroy the work of God. Oh, may we learn to move beyond problems. Part of that. And listen, preacher, oh, I love our preacher so much. So blessed with our pastor. We really are. But I know he's there for us to say, preacher, hey, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with this. But don't constantly unload on the pastor. Do you know what I mean when I say that? I don't mean like don't go and talk to him, because that's what he's there for. But if all you ever talk to pastor about is problems, then that's not good. Don't constantly unload. Balance it out a little bit. If you have that many problems, and some may have many problems in their life, balance it out, man. Don't just constantly unload. Seek God's help too. Listen, pastor, he'll be the first to say, he's not God. He's God's man for us. But seek the Lord's help too. Seek the Lord's help. Number 20, we're almost done. Choose the right time to talk about difficult things. There are times, like I said, verse number 19 was learn to move beyond problems. Sometimes we can't just move beyond situations. They need to be dealt with. And that's just the truth. That's not just in church setting, but in life. Sometimes problems need to be dealt with. We'll choose the right time to talk about difficult things. Is it Sunday morning at 10:38 out in the lobby? Probably not. No, it's not. That's the preacher. He's getting ready to preach. He's getting ready to share the word of God. And if you say, preacher, I need to talk to you about something, and you say, well, this and that, and this person said this, and this happened, blah, 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 and you unload, he's sitting there. And all he's going to do is he can say, okay, all right, yep, all right, we'll deal with it. But you know what he's thinking about the whole service now? What you just talked to him about? Oh, may we not? Maybe choose the right time. Like I said, yes, there are times we need to talk to the pastor. We need to deal with things. Is it before he preaches? No, it's not. It's not Sunday night before service. It's not Sunday morning before service. And you know what? It's really not even Sunday night after service or Sunday morning after service. Listen, he had a wonderful day. We had three saved in church. We had a baptism. We had a family join the church. And man, God's working. Praise the Lord. And he's out there shaking hands. Oh, great day, great day. And then you're the last one to say, preacher, I need to talk about something. And then his whole day. Oh, not the right time. Not the right time after a successful day in the Lord's work to bring it down. And like I said, there are times when things need to be dealt with immediately. But most of the time, we can wait till Tuesday afternoon. Monday's his day off. We want to do it on Monday. Tuesday, I say, preacher, could I meet with you and talk to you about something real quick? Is that all right? Oh, that is the way to do it. Please, please, choose the right time to talk about difficult things. 21. Have a genuine testimony on your job. Oh, how does that affect my preacher? When you invite someone to church, or when maybe he meets someone, and they work with you, and he says, oh yeah, you work at this place. So-and-so works here too. And they said, well, he goes to your church? Oh, we don't want that to happen, do we? No. Have a genuine testimony on your job. 22, tell the pastor regularly that you love him. Tell the pastor regularly that you love him. Listen, if you know me well enough, you know I'm a lovey guy, man. I love you guys. I love our church. I love every one of you. And listen, how many of you say, Pastor, Pastor Donald, at least one time or another, you know, I've seen or you've told me that you love me or something like, listen, hey, I love saying it. And I don't say it flippantly, just, hey, I love you, brother. Listen, I mean it. I just, And preachers the same way. And I tell preacher, I love you. Hey, love you, preacher. Hey, love you, preacher. Have a good day. Love you. That's just how I was brought up. We're very loving, 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 love, 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 love family. So it's easy for me to do that. For some of you, it's not as easy to say I love you. I understand that. But tell the pastor regularly that you love him in a letter, in a note, in a text message. Many times he's showed me, say, hey, look what so-and-so, you know, or you know, man, don't we have such great church people? And someone just said, hey, I love you, preacher. That is a blessing during the week when you don't know what he's facing at that moment. But God knows. And if God leads, he says, you know, why don't you text your preacher, tell him you love him. Man, do it. Tell the pastor regularly that you love him. 23, do not give ear to criticism. So important, folks. This is not easy preaching, I understand that, but it's the truth. Do not give ear to criticism. Don't be that person that everybody feels they can come to you and tell you what their problems are with pastor, with the church. Don't be that person. You're just as guilty. Listen, if they feel like they can trust you enough to come and talk to you about all their problems, listen, then listen, you're doing something not right. You need to say, hey, we're not doing that. Don't give ear to criticism. Don't do it. It's very easy sometimes to get critical, for me as well, for anybody. Like I said, the devil's smart. He's smart. He walked about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and that includes the people of Loomis Park Baptist Church and Pastor Donald. Listen, he's going to try to say, man, I can't believe that this, or say, oh, I can't believe they did things this way, or I can't believe that he said that, or I can't believe this happened. Or listen, don't give ear to criticism, and don't be critical either. Don't be either side of it. Oh, please, please. Again, that'll destroy the ministry of Loomis Park Baptist Church. Criticism. Don't be critical. There are times for constructive criticism. We have youth conference meetings, and I'll say, hey, what didn't go well last year? What do we need to do? That's different. But to say, we need to pray for so-and-so because they're doing this and that. And that's not right. That's critical. That's being critical. Don't give ear to criticism. Number 24, we're almost done. And again, these are things that I actually many of these things I've heard from other preachers talking about, as a guest speaker somewhere else. And so these aren't necessarily all my thoughts, but many of them are. But number 24, take care of the pastor. Take care of the pastor. And our church does such a wonderful job taking care of the staff of Loomis Park Baptist Church. Take care of him financially, and I know we do. Emotionally, listen. Like I said, there are times when pastor is going to get discouraged. The devil's going to attack him. He's going to get a phone call. He's going to get a letter. He's going to get a nasty email from some Joe Schmo in the middle of nowhere that's saying, you know, he listened to his message and he's a heretic and blah blah blah. And sorry, I said Joe, not Joe Schmo, Bill Schmo, whatever it may be. Oh, there's a Bill. He knows no Bills. Listen. He's going to get discouraged. Many of you have a good judgment call on that. You know when preacher's discouraged. You say, man, he seems like something's bothering him. Man, then get out there and encourage him as best as you can. Take care of him mostly physically. I know we do. We preacher's really tired. Or, hey, you know what? He just lost his parcel. That's going to be like an $800 fix. I don't know if the church is doing anything for him. Or if not, I don't have any authority over that. But listen, things like that. Listen, he's God's man. He's God's man. Let's continue to take care of him. Pastor, our preacher, listen, pastor had me turn in his offering. He writes, you know, what our preacher gives a lot to our church. He gives a lot to our church. And he'd probably hate me for saying that. And listen, I know, he gives a lot to our church. I believe that our preacher, and this is the way it should be, he cares more about this church than probably anybody else. He's the pastor. Cares about the church more than anybody. He's given his life, his money, his time, his family, his energy to the work of Loomis Park Baptist Church. He's given his whole being. The Bible talks about spending and being spent and spending all for the ministry. And listen, our preacher has done that. Oh, he has just given his life and his love and his heart to this ministry. And may we continue to take care of him. Number 25, the last one. Never go to your pastor. Never go to our pastor in anger. Never go to him in anger. There's times when we're going to be frustrated. Maybe not even about something he did or something, but something else. Never go to pastor in anger. I'm just upset about this or that or what. Listen, God will give him grace to get over what you said or what was said, but you may have a hard time forgiving yourself once your heart gets right. And that can be for me as well, whatever it may be. Listen, we don't need to have regrets about those kind of things. Oh, I wish I just waited. Listen, don't go to, if you're angry about something, then wait. And for some people, and nobody here, you're here on Mother's Day night, praise the Lord, but there's some people in the few churches that I've been able to be a part of that have been angry and have been upset and have been frustrated, and they've gone to preacher and just, blah, 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 and you know what, it ruins their work for God. They get out of church and they get away from the Lord because they got so angry and they didn't forgive and they didn't take care of it, they didn't deal with it right, and they're upset. And that ruins their work for God. And may that never be the case for anyone here or anyone at Loomis Park Baptist Church. Listen, the ministry is such a unique, I don't even want to call it a job. I know it's such a unique thing, the ministry is, as a pastor. Listen, it's uncomparable to regular work. Listen, if you own, Brother Leonard owns construction business, you do security, some of you work office jobs. The ministry is not an office job. Yes, there's time in the office of study, but it's not an office job. It's not a physical labor job, and at times that is involved in it. It is literally a if you want to call it a job, many of you work with tools and pens and paper and things like that. And the ministry, pastor, it's literally working with the hearts of men, women, children. That's the ministry. It's people. It's lives. It's problems. It's issues. Yes, so there's times of wonderful encouragement, like after a wonderful missions conference we just had, but there's many dark times as well. It is a job that cannot be compared to. It cannot be compared to. We cannot, it's completely different than any other job in the world, the ministry is. And that's why it's a calling. It's a calling. Not everybody's called to be in the ministry. It's a calling. Every single one of us are either called to ministry or called to help and support a ministry. Pastor, myself, we are called to ministry. And the folks here, you're called to help and support a ministry. And that ministry is Loomis Park Baptist Church. And I know if a preacher were here today, he would thank you for being faithful on a Sunday night that's for many people harder to be faithful to. And he'd be appreciative. And I hope that these 25 things will maybe this, you say, well, I don't have any, praise the Lord, but maybe some things say, I can write him a note, I can do this, I can do that. Whatever it may be, I hope it's a blessing to you. We're going to do something different for our invitation. It's a little bit after 7 right now. Can have a pianist play. You can play whatever you'd like, Just As I Am. But let's do this tonight instead. Let's stand together, and let's have everyone come and pray for our preacher. Can we do that tonight? Right now, let's stand together. We're all, if you can, if you're able, physically able, if we could just come down. Right, let's pray for our preacher. Pray for our preacher. Pray for his family. Everyone coming right down to the altar and beg God. Say, Lord, bless our preacher. Yes, keep him safe while he's away, but continue to bless Loomis Park Baptist Church. Continue to bless his ministry. Continue to bless his family and grow our church. God's doing a great work at Loomis Park Baptist Church. A wonderful work at Loomis Park Baptist Church. And we need to pray for our past. Let's take a